here now it goes, and my body will draw.
Hey everybody, welcome to mattnews.biz, the podcast where I share and discuss contrary thoughts, opinions, and beliefs that have been lovingly dubbed Matt News. This episode is brought to you unofficially by Restream. Restream is the best way to live stream to YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and 30 plus streaming sites all at once. You can expand your audience with multi-streaming today at restream.io. Please feel free to interact with me during tonight's live stream, whether you're watching from Facebook, YouTube, or even Twitch. You can comment in the chat section and I will see to it to reserve a time at the end to respond. Maybe if I get bored enough, I'll invite somebody on the broadcast with me tonight, because tonight it's just me. I recently contracted COVID. I got a little bit of a cough, and I wanted to talk about my experience with COVID a little bit, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about what this whole Matt News thing is about, because I have been running up against it a lot lately, and I just wanted to share some of what's been going on in my head and along with my experiences. So without further ado, here we go. I haven't been coughing this entire time I've been sitting here, but luckily I have my Coke Zero, if Coke ever wants to sponsor me. All right, I do have the chat up, so I can see if anybody comments or anything like that. Again, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, or even Restream, you can definitely chat me up. Now, first, let's talk some COVID stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus, because it's been this great fear thing. It's been this great causer of fear. A lot of people have been afraid of it because we've been hearing a lot of reports about it, about some of the things that have been going on with it. But I want to talk a little bit about my personal experience with it, because I did test positive for COVID. So what happened was, I think it was Sunday, whatever it is, it's 10 days ago. So 10 days ago, I had the chills. And I was really cold, but Nikki said that it was not cold, that it was in fact hot to her. I was shaking like I would if I had like the flu or something, or just a cold. I was just, you know, I had the shakes, had the chills, and but you know, this is my season of getting, you know, like some kind of a not flu, because I really don't get tested for flu, so I don't know if I ever have it or not. But this is kind of like my allergy season right now. and so this is the time of year that I would have coughs and sniffles and stuff like that. And so me and Nikki had been putting up Christmas lights like that whole day. And so I was like, you know, oh man, maybe I'm getting a cold because of, you know, because we were outside all day and stuff like that. And so maybe something settled, all that jazz. And so I didn't think anything of it. You know, I went to bed, but then like, you know, in the middle of the night, whatever chills I had kind of broke, and I got like that slimy, sticky sweat, going on, the cold sweat. That's what happened. And so I was like, well, hey, I'm in the clear. You know, whatever it was, it broke. It only lasted for a day. But out of precaution, I started drinking like kombucha, because that's what I do. That's become my normal routine, is whenever I get sick, what I'll do is I'll take kombucha and I'll drink kombucha. I'll eat kimchi. And then I'll also, down some Mucinex, especially if I feel like I've got some kind of sinus, anything. Like if I've got like a little drip or something like that in the back of my throat, I'm like, oh man, it's time to start taking Mucinex. kombucha, kimchi. That's like my regimen, and it has been for the past year and a half. And I'm usually only sick for about 2 to 3 days, and then I'm done with it. And so I started doing that, started feeling a lot better. But then we were cooking our food the day before Thanksgiving, and you know, we were making mac and cheese, and I went to go taste it, and I was like, man, this tastes really bland. And I noticed that I couldn't taste it, and I noticed that I really couldn't smell anything either. And so I called Nikki over, and I was like, hey, can you taste this? And she was like, man, that onion is really strong. And I was like, oh gosh, you know, I didn't share the spoon with her. You know, I had my own spoon. I gave her own spoon to taste it. I didn't stir the mac and cheese with the spoon I was using to taste it. But anyways, she tasted it and she was like, man, that onion is really strong. And so I was like, oh man, like, I wonder if I have COVID. So then she had me like sip on some apple cider vinegar to see how that tasted, and couldn't taste anything. You could feel it. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to share my COVID story, because I was looking up like symptoms of COVID and then like the smell and the taste, because I know that's a regular symptom. So like smell and taste. How much of your, because I could smell a little bit. And I could taste a little bit, but it was like fading, you know? And I was like, well, and then when I took the apple cider vinegar, like it still burned, but I couldn't taste the actual apple cider vinegar. So I was like, well, is this losing your taste? Is this what it feels like? Is this what the experience is? So then Nikki had me like bite into an onion straight up, and like it burned my nose really bad. And I was like, well, I mean, that's kind of a taste, you know, it's like, you know, that bitter feeling. So I started watching these videos about like, you know, what is it like to lose your taste and your sense of smell on COVID? And all I could find was a lot more like fear based, content out there. People who had COVID were like, oh man, you know, like, I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't walk more than 2 steps, and I would be out of breath, and I felt like I was dying, you know. Everything tasted like water. Everything tasted like nothing, and I was like, you know, but for me, I could, you know, like if it was spicy, I could feel that it was spicy, you know, and so I was like, well, that's kind of a taste. You know, but what it was I could feel the sensation of whatever the food I was consuming, but I couldn't taste the flavor. There was a lack of flavor. So I bet if I would have taken, you know, a fireball or something like that, it would have burned, you know? And again, like there's some, like I can taste saltiness. I can taste the saltiness of salt. And that was kind of, like that was like the worst. I was talking to Nikki about it, and I was saying, you know, really that's kind of the worst symptom. It's the most, and when I say the worst for me, again, I want to preface before I continue on, I want to preface this that I know that COVID is different for other people. I had a close friend, his wife got it, and like he the way he tells it, and I believe him, the way he tells it is like she was like dying. You know, she wasn't hungry. She couldn't keep anything down. There was something messed up with her hip, and that was COVID related. But like they were afraid for her life. I know a person right now who's got it, and he says he aches all over, like it hurts for him to even get out of bed. My experience has not been that. Like I feel like I've had the most mild case I have ever heard about. And I don't know. I don't want to go down conspiracy theory route, but like, I don't know if these other milder cases are being suppressed or if I'm just, you know, kombucha is killing it, you know, TBH, I hope it's that, because like, you know, you can ask where I work at, you know, that's like my big thing is like, oh, kombucha, kimchi, you got to start taking those things, because I'm wondering if my case is so mild because like my immune system is pretty good because I drink kombucha. Like, I drink kombucha. I drink at least one kombucha a month. You know, at least, at the very minimum, I'm drinking a kombucha that month. And kombuchas have like billions and billions of microorganisms and good gut bacteria. That's what they have. That's what they boost. They boost your good gut bacteria. Because if you've ever read any reports, I've heard reports of 80% up to 90% of your immune system is in your gut bacteria. It's in your gut. So if you have good gut bacteria, then your immune system is going to be pretty good. And so I'm wondering if that's what, and then plus a lot of kombuchas, they have like vitamin C in it. They have all that kind of jazz in it. That's what I was doing. I was just drinking a lot of kombucha. And then even when I started feeling the symptoms of COVID, like I started drinking kombucha, I would drink about half of a kombucha a day. So I would break it up. So I had two kombuchas and I would break it up across 4 days. Let's back the story up to when I couldn't taste or smell anything like that. And I was trying to figure out, like, you know, how bad is it? So on the way to a clinic, I went to an urgent care clinic to get the rapid test done. And, when I was there, there was actually a lot of people who were there getting tested as well. And everybody was wearing their masks, you know, and everything like that. So I went back there. They did the nasal swab kind of like, at the very beginning of the virus or the pandemic, me and Nikki went to CVS and had the swab done. So that's what they did at the clinic. They did the swab. They said it'd take about 45 minutes for them to get a result. So I sat there and I waited. It was probably like 2 hours before I got the result. And then I went back and told the doctor and I asked him, I said, hey, is there any chance that this positive, you know, because you get these reports about false positives and stuff like that. And he said, false negatives, yes, you can get a false negative. And that's what they'll do. They'll send off that test that they took from you and they'll send it off and it'll take a couple of days. But he said, the test is very specific that that if the positive, they're like 95% sure that it's positive. That's how accurate they believe it is. And so, you know, I'm going to take their word for it. They're doctors. So I was like, okay, so it's COVID, you know, the positive test is COVID. So then I went home and immediately quarantined. We haven't been out, you know, this whole time. If we did, like, we drove around in our car and didn't go anywhere else. We just literally just drove around, came back home. But again, my symptoms were very, very mild. I mean, like, this feels like a normal cold. Like a little bit of a stuffy nose, a little bit of a cough. Like what I'm doing right now is what I've been doing this entire time. Did wake up with like mild body aches. So like I was achy, like I was like, oh man, this is uncomfortable, but it wasn't like debilitating. Like I have a tree in my backyard and I thought about cutting it. I thought about chopping at it for a little bit, you know. Didn't do it because I have an excuse to be lazy for 10 days. I'm going to do it. but this has been the majority of my symptoms is like stuffy nose, got a little bit of a little bit of a cough. And I mean like a little bit of a cough. Like I haven't been coughing like crazy or anything like that. I have not had any shortness of breath. Lost my smell, lost my taste, and that's about it. Like that has been my bout with COVID. I was telling my coworker if I wouldn't have gotten tested, I probably would have went into work because it just feels so mild. It is such a mild case that I have, and it's so funny because once, you know, my family and my friends kind of learned that I had COVID, you know, people were calling me, not really my family. My family was like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing fine. They were like, oh, okay. But like people, who have been under the belief that COVID is this killer disease, were like really? Like, that's strange. Like, everything you're saying is so strange about your case. And again, I want to say that I understand that that goes case by case. Some people are dying out there. A lot of it has to do with their age, if they have any kind of underlying, you know, medical conditions, all that stuff like that. because there has been reports of people my age dying because of COVID, I think that a lot of people have it in their head that if you have COVID, it's an immediate death sentence. But a lot of people in my circles that I run understand. Oh, I hope I didn't just shut everything down. No, I didn't. Ooh, good. But a lot of people that run in my circles understand that this, you know, this virus has a, like a 98% or 99.98% or something ridiculous like that. 98 plus percentile of like, you're going to get over it. You're going to get over it. Most people are going to get over it. I try not to state statistics too much because it does make you seem like you're lacking empathy for people and you're lacking sympathy for people. And so all I can do is tell you how I've been affected by COVID, and it's really not that much for me. Again, this could be because I was drinking kombucha a ton and my gut bacteria was like crazy good. Now let me tell you the reason I have behind drinking kombucha, just because, you know, like it just made so much sense to me, and that we looked it up and we researched it a little bit, you know. And so one thing I was looking is like when you, because like before COVID hit, you would go to the doctor and you would say, hey, I've got kind of like a sinus infection or whatever. They would do a flu test or whatever. And if it wasn't flu, they were like, okay, you have a bacterial infection or whatever. Take antibiotics. And what antibiotics does is it like completely just like, you know, it just completely kills all your gut bacteria, even the good stuff. And so I was like, you know, well, why not take, you know, probiotics, the good stuff, you know? And so we started like reading about like what is good gut bacteria, where can you get good gut bacteria, and we read a bunch about kombucha and everything like that, you know. A buddy of mine at work, you know, he was drinking kombucha, and I was like, it's stupid, you know. But after like reading about it, reading what it does, I was like, man, you know, maybe I should start drinking kombucha and stuff. So I drink kombucha a ton. Anytime I'm sick, like I literally just like, you can ask Nikki, like it's literally like a kombucha a day, you know, even though I've brought it down a little bit because you can have too much kombucha. So I do like whenever I'm sick, I'm do like half a kombucha a day until like it's knocked out. So, you know, so that's why if you were to ask me, Matt, if I got COVID, what, you know, one, I would say look out for, you know, like if you start feeling any kind of sick, like immediately, you know, and maybe that's what I should, because I kind of did that because I couldn't go out anywhere. But immediately quarantine, you know, if you've got any kind of, you know, even if it's like cold symptoms, cause that's what mine felt like. Mine felt like literally like, oh, this is like a common cold. These are sinus. This is a sinus infection. That's what it felt like. It felt like a sinus infection. So what I would say is if you're having any of those symptoms, any kind of sinus infection symptoms, go ahead and quarantine, wait for like 3 days, and I'll tell you why. Wait for like 3 days, and then on the third day, like see if you can taste stuff or whatever, you know. Only about 50, I think it's like, I think me and Nikki were watching a video today, but 55% of people that have that test positive for COVID lose their taste. So not everybody's going to lose their taste. But that was one of the telltale signs for me. But I would say if you have any kind of cold symptoms, I would wait 3 days. If you're still experiencing symptoms, then go to the doctor, get the test done, get the rapid test done, you know. And the reason I say wait the third day is because the doctor was saying that sometimes you can come in too early, because if you come in too early where like you don't really have, like you have symptoms, but you like you're getting it like the same day as your first symptom, he said the virus really doesn't have time to settle in and be able to give us a positive test. So The fact that I waited like a couple of days to get the test done, he said that mine was going to be like pretty accurate. Like they were going to pretty much take a positive as a positive. And it probably wasn't going to come back negative is what he said. It was more likely that it wasn't going to come back negative if I indeed had COVID. So that's what I would suggest. I would say day one of your symptoms, go ahead and quarantine. On the third day of your symptoms, then go get the rapid test and see if it comes back positive. If it comes back negative, they'll probably still send it off. That's what the doctor was telling me. He said they were going to send it off and they were going to do the longer period test to make sure. And then once you get that result back, like let's say you test negative and then your other test comes back positive, then they're going to tell you, hey, quarantine now. And they're going to do the same thing. I think they're going to make you quarantine from the day of your first symptom. So it's the guideline right now is like 10 days. And then after the 10th day, that's when you can return back to work. So I actually return back to work tomorrow. A lot of people are looking for fevers out there and I didn't have a fever the entire time. Like I think the highest my temperature went was like 98.6. I think that was like my highest temperature the whole time, the entire time. I felt hot. I felt like I had a temperature. I felt like I had a temperature and I would take my temperature and it would be like 97, you know, 97.3 or something like that. And then like, again, the highest it went was 90, like a normal temperature, 98.6. And so a lot of people are out there looking for temperatures and it's, you know, that might not be what you should be looking for. So again, I started drinking kombucha like crazy, like even if I felt a little sick, and I do that on a normal basis anyway. So I did it while I was in COVID too. And I took Mucinex, daytime and nighttime. And, you know, during COVID again, like, cause COVID is still like a flu kind of thing. And you get the mucus and everything like that. And that's what causes a lot of the gunk to build up and everything like that. And it is, I will say, that it did this, the mucus that I did experience while having COVID felt thicker. So whatever was coming out of my nose, it felt thicker, felt more pliable, you know? So I would say start taking Mucinex to help break that up and make it loose, you know? And they actually, CDC, I think, and other doctors recommend taking like a Mucinex type of thing, an expectorant or like that to help keep that stuff broken up. I saw a video, a nurse was saying to lay on your stomach so that the mucus doesn't have to settle down. You know, Nikki showed me that. And so it does have a lot to do with mucus. And I even saw a video with a doctor from South Africa and in extreme cases where the people couldn't breathe, they actually went in and did surgery and was pulling out mucus from the lung. So it's a lot. It's a very mucusy based disease, you know? And so I would say like, kombucha, kimchi, and Mucinex. Like that's what I would do. And unless you got really bad and had to go to the hospital. But if they send you home and they say, hey, you got COVID and they send you home, start taking kombucha, probiotics, just anything that's got like super high levels of probiotics in it. That's why I say kombucha, because kombucha's got like billions of live cultures in it. Kombucha, kimchi or anything that's fermented, like sauerkraut or anything like that, if you like that kind of stuff. Pickles are even good. And then also just Mucinex. That's my regimen for like a normal cold. So I would say like if you have a mild case of this, you know, because Mucinex has your stuff. Like if you do have a fever, it lowers fever. If you have a body ache or chills, it has a Tylenol in it, you know. So it's going to kind of be that, you know, that cold flu symptom treater kind of thing, you know. So anyways, that's my bout with COVID. I wanted to talk a little bit about it just because I think a lot of people are super duper scared of it, like it's cancer. And I want to say that COVID is not cancer. COVID is not an automatic death sentence. COVID isn't a big bad boogeyman. And again, I'm not going to quote statistics, but, and I don't want, this is the thing. I don't want people like, meow, meow, meow. I don't want to hear it. But like you know, the flu kills millions of people every year, and nobody, we're not clamoring for people to stay indoors during the flu. So my message would actually be opposite, is like, look, we should be this concerned even with the flu, not mandatory lockdowns and stuff like that. But like, if you have the flu, you should be wearing a mask if you go out, wear a mask. You know, if you're around somebody, wear a mask, take necessary precautions, like go ahead and quarantine yourself. If you have the flu, if you have like a normal cold, you don't want to pass that crap on to other people. So like and my experience with COVID is it's very similar to a flu or a cold. So I would say if you're not taking those precautions with a flu or cold, it's because you're a disgusting human being and you're not doing those things already. And that's why COVID is spreading. But the thing is everybody's making it out like a big hubbubaloo, and it has killed people. There has been reports of people dying. I am very sympathetic about that. But again, there's been a lot of mild cases such as mine. I don't know if mine is like the most mild I've ever heard of, but I don't think everybody's going to die out of this thing. I don't think everybody's going to die. I think people have died. It's sad, but I just don't think it's like, I don't know how to explain the level of concern we should have for this thing. I think we should lower our level of concern for COVID and raise our concern for flu. If anything, what should we do? Lower, maybe dial it down for COVID, but dial it up for all the other bull crap that's going around. That would be my end. Hey, that's what I would say with COVID. So Nikki, what did you say, Nikki? You said the concern should be with our immune system. We need to start educating everyone how to build up the immunity. Yes, I would agree with that, because I think maybe that's why I have such a mild case. And Nikki, you had a mild case of it too. You went through it with me. But like drinking kombucha and stuff like that, I feel like really got us through it. That's what I think. Let's see. So Resurrection Motorsports says you're explaining my everyday for the past 8 months. To be honest, I have like two or three like seasons that I go through where like I have like a lot of these kind of symptoms all the time. Like I have it all the time. And that's why it's so hard to tell, like, oh man. And thinking that COVID is like this 100% killer. Is like, oh man, I've got the sniffles. Do I have COVID? Oh man, I've got a fever. Do I have COVID? Oh man, and it's like flu can kill you, but we're not that concerned about the flu. We're like, oh man, I think I just got a flu. I'm going to take some Thermoflu or something like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like maybe we need to be a little bit more concerned about the flu, maybe dial the flu up a little bit, but bring COVID down like a lot. Like we need to dial that back. Like right now we're with COVID right now, we are, Spinal Tap. We're cranking it up to 11, and we need to bring it back down to like a 5, you know, like halfway there, like maybe even a 6, but like we don't need to, like, it's not dial it down. That's what I would say. So anyways, that was my COVID thing, and that took up half the show. So that's good, because I'm really afraid that because I'm by myself and I don't have like a script or anything like that I'm gonna, you know, be boring or not have anything to talk about. So another thing I want to talk about was, what is Matt News? Because what I end up doing is every time I have a guest on, and I am going to continue guests, I just, with the whole COVID thing, I didn't reach out to anybody during this time, you know, and I really wanted to just kind of focus on resting, because I wanted to treat it like a flu. I wanted to treat it like a cold, and I wanted to make sure that I rested to get over it quickly. So what I end up doing is every time I have a guest on, you know, and the name mattnews.biz is mentioned, I feel like I have to go into the explanation of it. So like, I just wanted to kind of, you know, like, hey, what is this whole mattnews.biz thing? And then there was this cool TikTok, and I'm going to end up doing it. But there's this girl who's asking, you know, what's the story behind her username? And so I've actually changed like almost all of my usernames to mattnews.biz or mattnews, like dot spelled out biz. I've actually been thinking about dialing it back to just Matt News, but you know, that's up in the air. But what is it? what is this whole Matt News thing? What is it about? The best thing I could relate it to is just like a healthy skepticism. And I want to foster that, you know, and I want to be open to it, because I think that there is healthy skepticism, you know, even within a community of faith. And I think a lot of times when you're in a community of faith, you're discouraged from being a skeptic about anything. I'm going to take a sip of Coke Zero. But it's like a sin, you know. If you were to think about anything contrary to the main stream of thought within the majority church, it feels as though you're ostracized. And I feel like, you know, so I've done like, I don't know how people feel about Enneagram tests or anything like that, but I'm Enneagram type 6. The way that I view Enneagram is very much like a personality test. It's based on the way that you view the world at the moment that you take the test. And so it reveals a lot about the way that you think currently. I don't think it's some, you know, mystical thing that is set in you on upon your birth. You know, I don't think you were born whatever Enneagram number you are, just like I don't think you're, you know, you're what is it, the ENTPs or INTGJs, whatever they are. Like, I don't think those are ingrained in you from birth. I think those are just, you know, personality tests. Those are personalities. That's your personality at the moment that you take the test. So when I took the test, you know, the Enneagram test, I came out a type 6. I'm a 6 wing 5. So sixes are actually very interesting, because there's actually they're subtype. They're the only type that has subtypes. So there's actually like a phobic 6, which is like afraid of dying and getting injured all the time. And then there's like a 6 that's like a non-phobic 6, which is more afraid of like stability issues, not being able to have a stable life. So that's the kind of 6 that I am. Because I'm not really phobic. I'll take risks that are, you know, that will harm or hurt or possibly even kill, you know, because I don't really concern myself with the fear of that, you know, especially not normal everyday activities. I don't do that. However, that's not to say that I take unnecessary risks that are going to definitely kill me or definitely hurt me. But my fear lies greatly in instability. But type sixes also have a hard time. Like once they trust somebody, they trust them, you know, but they have a hard time getting there. They have a hard time doing that. They have a hard time handing over that trust. And so that's kind of what mattnews.biz is. I hold a lot of contrary positions on things. And so on some of my accounts, I've put that on my bio. I've put like I'm a Christian contrarian, you know, and it's kind of like tongue in cheek. Because a contrarian is somebody who just has contradictory ideas to like the main line of thinking. And the reason that I've adopted that is because where the name mattnews.biz kind of originated. During the last election, when Trump was being elected the first time, every election cycle, I get heavy where I talk, I talk a lot about politics. I like it. I like talking about politics. I'm not afraid to talk about politics. But I got really heavy in it. And so it was when the whole fake news thing first started. And so, you know, you'd hear it all the time. Oh, that's fake news. Oh, that's fake news. Oh, that's fake news. And so whenever we would talk about politics or anything, you know, kind of like libertarian-esque, you know, because I consider myself to be a libertarian, anything that's kind of libertarian-esque, you know, my boss at the time would just like, he would go, ah, that's Matt News. That's Matt News. And so as a joke, he literally bought the domain mattnews.biz and tied it to my Facebook account. So I think it's still that way right now, but I think if you go to your address bar and type in mattnews.biz, it literally takes you to my Facebook page. So that's the origin of the name, but it's this idea that I just hold contrary opinions just to hold them, just to be contrarian. And that's not my goal. My goal isn't to be a contrarian for the sake of being contrary or for the sake of being, conflicting or like, I don't try to be controversial. That's the word I was looking for. But most of my contrary views, most of my contrarian views provide for me the best explanation. And what I mean by that, what I mean by the best explanation is that I can literally take that point of view and that opinion. I can take that view at face value and it makes sense. I think that's one of the reasons why I don't like taxes is because I can't take taxes at face value and understand them. They're, and it's not like it's super complicated to understand the tax bracket system, but the fact that so many people are unaware on how specifically tax brackets work and how the tax system works, that it's unnecessary, and it's not a face value explanation. I give a lot of credence and I give a lot of weight to things that are easily explained to me. And if you can't easily explain something to me, then I will tend to lean toward a different point of view or a contrary point of view. So I wanted to read this quote by Leo Tolstoy. So some of the contrary opinions that I have are like one is like nonviolence. I'm becoming very much a nonviolent. I don't like violence. I don't want to become violent. I don't want to put myself in a position where I need violence. And so it's actually a big libertarian point is the non-aggression principle. What I like about the non-aggression principle is, one is it's you don't aggress unless you're being aggressed upon. But I know that a lot of libertarians take it to the next level, which is like non-aggression completely, like no aggression whatsoever. And that that it really intrigues me. That does. And it's an easy explanation for me for the way that Jesus was, because Jesus could have definitely aggressed upon somebody and been justified in it. If we take the way that we view aggression and self-defense, like if we were to place the way that we view self-defense onto Jesus, Jesus would have been completely justified. However, what we do is we place a divine significance on the fact that Jesus had to be non-aggressive because of what he was doing. It's an opinion that I can understand, and I would even agree. Like, yes, Jesus had this divine appointment; he had this divine thing that he had to do, that required him almost to be non-aggressive. However, Jesus himself spoke a lot about the meek inheriting the kingdom of God, and he also spoke a lot about. Or not a lot, but he did speak about being non-aggressive, not showing aggression toward your brother, loving people even if they don't love you, not defending yourself against someone who's attacking you. But what we want to do is we want to put up this, what if they attack your wife, or what if they attack your kids or something like that? Do we think it's God's will for that person to be? Well, no, but I don't think that it's And this is just me spitballing here. I'm just talking. I don't think that it's a, you are doing the right thing by acting aggressively to defend. I think that it is the fall of man that has caused this person to aggress first, and then it is continuation of the fall that you feel the need to aggress back, even in defense of the defenseless type of stuff. You know, that's the way that I feel about it. You know, right now, my biggest thing is that, you know, I feel like it's not our position as human beings to aggress against other human beings. I think that God has that right. And so when he takes vengeance, and that's what the Bible says, it says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And so it's, you know, if vengeance is his, I would assume that that means physical vengeance as well. So anyways, but I brought up Tolstoy because Tolstoy says this, and I really took this to heart. So he's talking about in his book, The Kingdom of God is Within You. It was written in 1894. So Leo Tolstoy he lived in Russia. And I think he was living there during the time of before communism. So like during, you know, the Anastasia era, you know, during the whole, you know, the czars and all that jazz. So he lived there and he wrote this book called The Kingdom of God is Within You. And then the kind of parentheses title for this is one of the most influential books on nonviolent resistant Christianity and inner faith, what it means to be a true Christian at heart. So far, this is a very enlightening book. I really enjoy this book. And I would recommend reading it again. So a lot of times when people have you read books that you really don't agree with, they'll tell you, eat the meat and spit out the bones. Well, this is one that has a lot of meat and not a whole lot of bones, but it does have bones in it. And I will say that, you know, there are some bones that you'll probably have to spit out, but there's a lot of meat. And this is one of them. So in this chapter, it's chapter 3 of The Kingdom of God is Within You. And Leo Tolstoy is talking about the failure to comprehend the truths that are in Christ's teaching. And this is what I'll just go ahead and start reading it. It says, one of these causes is this, that both the believers and the unbelievers are firmly convinced that Christ's teaching has been comprehended by them long ago, and so completely, indubitably, and finally, that there can be no other meaning in it than the one they ascribe to it. This cause is due to the duration of the tradition of the false comprehension, and so of the failure to understand the true teaching. Here's the profound statement here. I think all of that is profound, but here's the most powerful stream of water cannot add a drop to a vessel that is full. And so what Leo Tolstoy here is saying, he's saying that a lot of people who have, they think they got it figured out, and they've ascribed a meaning to something, and that's what they do. So Nikki said something to me the other day, and this really got me thinking in this track. And I was like, that's why I'm fine having a show, an episode all by myself. But Nikki said this to me, and she said that you don't say things that are definitive. You don't speak definitively. And that's something that I've noticed for a long, long time. But to hear somebody else recognize it in me is astonishing to me. Because I do, and I purposefully do, because I don't want to be that person that gets something wrong. I would rather be in a perpetual state of non-definitiveness, you know, than to say that I know exactly what something means, or to say that I know for a fact that this is what this is, and then be proven wrong, right? And then be wrong, and then have to change, then have to flip flop your whole point of view, your whole system of thinking, you know. But if you're open and you don't speak in definitives. You're not absolute, you know, and that's not to say that I'm not absolute about things. I am. But in the majority of what I talk about, I'm not absolute at all, because I can't be absolute until something proves something to be absolute there. Then I can't be that way. And so I take this statement by Leo Tolstoy very much to heart, because I want to be a vessel that has room for water. I want to have enough room for things to come in and to teach me, because you hear that all the time. People will tell you all the time, you know, I learn something new every day. However, they don't want to listen to you. You know, they can't learn anything from you. And, you know, I get that a lot. I get that feeling a lot, that nobody wants to learn anything from me. Maybe it's the definitiveness of it. Maybe it's because I'm not definitive, and so they don't feel like I have anything to offer them. However, I would say if I could offer anything to anyone, it would be like, you know, be a little skeptical about stuff and don't be so definitive about things, because you're only a human being. You are faulty, and you could be thinking something wrong and be so adamant that you're correct in it, and be foolish for thinking that you have it figured out. And so that's one of the reasons why, even with some of my theological points of view, it's like, this is what I'm working with right now. Like currently, eschatologically. And so eschatology is just, it's a study of end times. That's all it is. So my end times point of view is one that I've grown into. It's been a part of my thinking for a really long time, but I haven't really studied into it. And so I've really just started studying into it with a very good friend of mine recently. And so I'm grasping onto it. I am working with it, as this is what I believe as well. And that is a post-millennial point of view, post-millennial preterism. So I would consider myself to be a partial preterist post-millennialist. That's a lot of words. But it's an eschatological point of view. It's an end times point of view that we currently are living in the kingdom of God. And that Jesus not only reigns in heaven, but he also reigns physically on the earth, and that things are not going to progressively get worse, that they're going to get better, and that we have cycles of bad stuff that happens. But that's only because, you know, the gospel still has places to go and still has, you know, work to do. But it's still working. It's the gospel is still working. And I believe that. I believe that to be true. So I didn't think I was going to talk this long to myself, which is pretty cool. So nonviolence is one of my contrary points of view. A lot of, again, what I was talking about earlier, a lot of people would say that self-defense is completely and utterly justifiable, but I have a hard time reconciling that with what Jesus said, especially with the case in the garden, when Jesus, you know, and a lot of people will, and this is one of my points here, is that it's hard to explain away what Jesus is saying, because you have to add things into the text, because Jesus didn't say, or did he? Let's look it up real quick. Let's look up the, Bible story, Jesus arrest, right? So this is what I do. Whenever somebody presents something from the Bible to me, and this is why it takes me a long time to respond to people, because so today I even had a conversation with somebody, and they threw out multiple Bible verses, and my instinct was not to throw out other Bible verses, but it was to look those up and see if what that person is saying is what those verses meant. So one of the Bible verses, and we'll talk about this one right here, Jesus arrested, because I think that this is in the garden arrest. So it's in Matthew. I want to get the one where the guard lop, or Peter lops off. Peter cuts off here. So where Peter lops off the ear of the guard, I want to read that one. It's, let's see, John 18. Okay. So here in this story, it's in John 18. It talks about when they finished praying, Judas came with guards in the garden. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, "I am he." And then Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of these you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servants, cutting off his right ear. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So with this explanation in John, I would say, and I know you can't see this, I should be sharing my screen, should I not? Right here, this one. Boom. So with this passage, I would say that, yes, Jesus is doing, because what I was going to say is that with a lot of the readings, you won't see, it's not like coincided with, you know, it was basically Jesus saying, "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." But in this context here, we have it that it is directly like, "Put away your sword because I have to do this." But let me look up the other verses. It's like in Matthew. Mark 14:47. This is where I start getting important, because I want to look up this stuff. Mark 14. Mark 14:47. Here we go. I got to share a different screen here. Mark 14:47. All right, so we're right here. We're going to start in verse 43. It says that immediately while he was still speaking, Jesus came, one of the 12 with him in a crowd, swords and clubs, blah, 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 blah. And then when he came, he went up to him saying, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And then he laid his hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck his servant, the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus said, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. So that one also would say that that's less about nonviolence and more about, I didn't put it up. That's less about nonviolence and more about Jesus needing to fulfill prophecy. So here we are. But again, this doesn't negate. This isn't just me being contrary. This isn't me just like, you know, my opinion has to be correct, or I'll become an atheist again, you know, like it's not that. It's really just, I want to understand, and I want to make sure. I'm living a life that's according to the gospel. That's what I want to do. And I'm strongly convinced that a part of that is nonviolence. you know. So here we go. Here's the verse I wanted to get. Matthew, this is Matthew 26, this is 52. He says, "Put your sword back in its place." Jesus said to him, "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scripture be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" So here we have, again, this is Jesus, and he is saying like, look, like this has to take place for prophecy, but he makes the statement that all who live by the sword will die by the sword. And then he says, "Don't you think that I have a ton of angels at my disposal that I can take care of this? But I don't do that." And I think that's like the biggest message you can get from that is Jesus is saying, like, look, violence isn't going to make the kingdom of God come. Violence isn't going to make the kingdom of God be fulfilled by its fruition. That's not what's going to happen. And I mean, even if you look at like the Sermon on the Mount, you have the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talks about the meek are going to inherit the kingdom of God. And we just completely dismiss that. We completely dismiss all these verses. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful." Well, let me go back up because I don't want to skip and then be. "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me." So to me, that sounds like Jesus is saying, like, look, be meek, be poor, be mournful. Don't uphold yourself. Don't defend yourself. That's what it sounds like to me. And there are other verses of scripture that go with that as well. And it's a big point that Leo Tolstoy makes in his book. And I'm still reading it because I'm a very slow reader. But it's also a point that I think that Rene Girard takes as well. And he's a great author. He's a great author. I would definitely recommend some of his books if you haven't read any. Like right now, I'm still currently reading I Saw Satan Fall Like Lightning, or I See Satan Fall Like Lightning. That's a book by Rene Girard, but it talks more about scapegoating and that kind of stuff, which is very interesting. But these are definitely – this is one of the reasons why I'm a Christian contrarian, because I feel like the church attempts to answer questions that people want to hear, but they don't want to answer the questions that people need answered. So I think that a lot of times, like this question for me about nonviolence, it's a question that comes up a lot within Christian circles. It comes up a lot because I was sharing with a buddy of mine about this whole Leo Tolstoy thing and about nonviolence and stuff like that. And one of the things he said to me, he said, a lot of my non-aggressive people or like my nonviolent, you know, the nonviolent supporters, like basically like Quakers and stuff like that. What am I trying to think of? This is going to be great. I'm not going to edit any of this out of my podcast. This is going to be me mumbling and stuff like that. But basically that I hold different opinions with them, but it's like he had other people that he talked about with about this. Like, you know, all the other non-aggression people that I talk to, they have they have different ways of articulating this. And so there's a whole group of people, there's entire denominations of Christians that are built on the fact that they believe that they should not participate in violence. And I would think of myself in those lines. I would say that I am one of those people that believe in nonviolence, non-aggression, non-retaliation. You know, it's something that if I were to take part in some type of aggression, even if it's a regression against somebody, I would feel as though I was sinning and that I was missing the mark, and that I would have something to repent for. And that's one of my contrary positions, because I don't believe and because I have this non-aggression principle. I also do not agree with war. I don't agree with being a part of war and participating in a system that perpetuates war. And that's a contrary position to a lot of the churches that are out nowadays. That's really all I've got. I could talk more. I could just sit here and ramble on and on and on, but I want to wrap it up. Addressed a lot of these questions. If there are, I know there's two of you watching right now. If you're watching right now and you have any questions, go ahead and ask them now, before I wrap up. I'm going to try to read through some of these comments really quick. A lot of them are my dad. My dad's just talking about what he's going to do because of COVID, to fight COVID. He eats a lot of sauerkraut and kimchi, so I'm not really worried about him. So Nikki says, and this is Nikki, this is my wife. Everyone is waiting for the vaccine, but what they don't realize is if they build their immune systems, their body will heal and fight off all kinds of viruses. I agree with that. I'm kind of like the flu kills millions of people a year. And there is a vaccine. It's voluntary, though, you know, and a lot of people don't get them and they survive the flu every year. You know, I'm one of them. I said I didn't want the flu shot this year. I didn't take it last year. I didn't take it the year before that. I didn't take it the year before that. But I think that's. I mean, if the COVID vaccine comes, I think that's how it should be handled as well. Again, I think that we need to dial back the COVID, and crank up the flu a little bit more, maybe be a little bit more concerned about the flu. I think that's what we need to do. And that's not to say that there needs to be regulations, stricter regulations for the flu, but I think it does, you know, need to be like this awareness that we have. We need to be more aware of the flu. So that's pretty much it. No questions are being asked. So, everybody, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode with just me. You can rewatch this stream on my YouTube page. Link is going to be in my bio. Link is in my bio for my YouTube page. You can also check out some of my like short films and stuff. I'm also a filmmaker and I've done short films. You can look at them there. Or you can also listen to the podcast that's going to be available on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. I'm still working to get episode 32 out. I had like some super duper major issues and it's really frustrating. And like I can only work on it for like 15 minutes at a time before I get super duper frustrated and give up. But anyways, it's going to be out. It's going to be out. That's episode 32. It's going to be out. Google Podcast, you can listen to it on Apple Podcasts as well. I hope to see you next time as we explore more Matt News with hopefully a guest. I'll see you next week.